I'm delighted to see I'm joined on the line by our rugby correspondent, Alec McDonald. Alec, you're very welcome to Highland Radio Sunday Sport. Alec, Storm Dennis Payne, havoc across the northwest. Some games off yesterday, but one game that did go ahead in the All-Ireland League 2C was City of Derry against Bangor. You're at that game for Highland Radio Sunday Sport. It's a disappointment for City of Derry. They were defeated 7-14, and City of Derry still sitting second from bottom.
Yeah, it was conditions now weren't were pretty bad, but the second half it actually the rain stopped. There was quite a strong wind which was blustering at times, but to be honest, I mean that this was a must win game for City of Derry, and to be honest, I would have to be honest, I think anybody that was there would say that they were slightly flattered by a 14-7 defeat. Bangor but were by far the superior side. I mean the amount of penalties that they got from the scrums, and the scrums, unfortunately Sam Duffy, the Derry tight head, is injured, and if he's not going to be available for the rest of the season or even a few games, the Derry scrum yesterday was absolutely taken apart by Bangor. The same in the lineouts, the rolling mauls were very, very strong. And to be fair to Derry, if it hadn't been for massive defence on about five occasions near their line, Bangor would have scored a lot more tries. And you know, I know it wasn't a great performance, but I think their defence had to be admired yesterday, because only they concede two tries, and one of them was a penalty try, which really the referee had no choice. It penalised Derry about seven times at scrums, and then Bangor drove forward about 3 metres from the line, and the scrum just capitulated, and they had no choice to do it. You know, so that was 14-7 at half time. Bangor got an early score whenever their loosehead prop Phil White got over, and that was again from a rolling maul after a line-out. A good conversion by Yandel, their out-half, made it 7-0, but Derry hit back, and David Ferguson, their captain, he made a wee break on the outside, gave it to Simon Logue, who is probably the quickest, was probably the quickest guy there yesterday, and he sailed around and onto the post, and that was converted to make it 7-0. But then the penalty try then just before half-time, 20th minute, that was a scored half time. As I said, no scores in the second half miraculously. Derry a couple of times, once they had an opportunity that men over, but they kicked the ball, and I don't know why they kicked the ball yesterday in such bad conditions, because that's the one thing that Bangor did very well. They kept possession of the ball, and with the power they had on the forwards, it was good. The other thing too really is that every time there was a scrum, you could be sure that Derry were going to be penalised going backwards, which meant that the Bangor out half was given an opportunity to kick 40, 50 yards every time, and so some of the good work that Derry had done getting up into their 22 was all for nothing.
Yeah, disappointing defeat for Derry, but still time there, Alec. In the second game, Oma and Skerries was called off yesterday.
Yes, it was. I was talking to James Doherty, their assistant coach, who was down for about the last 15 minutes of the Derry game. It was the referee actually called it off. The Skerries were there. They tried the four pitches at Oma. They then went to the grammar school to see if the two pitches there, but unplayable all the games. Apparently there was a lot of water at Oma, so unfortunately that couldn't be played. I mean, the referees, he has to make a decision, because if anything happened or a player was badly injured, you know, he would be held responsible. Yeah. Skerries were a bit disappointed. They had travelled up, but it's not they were very happy, because they tried everything they could, and I'm sure they were the same as Oma. They didn't want to see any players getting injured. So that game will be rescheduled, but there's plenty of Saturdays left before the end of the final game. So I imagine that may well be played in an international date or something. Mm-hmm. The other game that took place up at Rennie was Rennie and Division 2A. They have been going well, but they'd be very disappointed. Queens came down and beat them 15-10, and apparently it was a pretty stop-start game again, with the wind and the rain dictating, but Queens will be very happy to get that result.
Looking at the Gordon West Cup, a two-point defeat for Strabane yesterday against Newry, 10-12 was the final score, so disappointment for Bert Gilbreth on his side.
Yeah, that was disappointing, you know, to be after the great performance against Letterkenny in the first round, when it was nip and tuck and they managed to get through. And I would have thought that Strabane yesterday, again, conditions that could have dictated what went on, but Newry have a big, heavy pack, and they might have been quite happy with that sort of conditions yesterday. They edged through by 2 points. Strabane have been disappointed because, you know, after having a very good result in the first round, but that's how it goes. And Monaghan, who for me are probably going to be one of the teams to beat in that league, are in the league and also in the Gordon West Cup. They had a pretty convincing 20-0 victory at home over Cavan, and so you know they will certainly be targeting a final up at Ravenhill.
And before we move on to the Pro 14, no action in the, well, in a showing against Academy was conceded by Academy in the Ulster Championship too. Ards and Limavady was off, as was Ranelstown and Coleraine as well. So disappointing there, Alec.
Yeah, well, as we know, conditions just were awful, and some places got it worse than others. And you know, the thing is that it's all very well going ahead and playing a game, but I mean, is it worth destroying a pitch, you know, for the sake of one game which can be played in better conditions afterwards?
In the Pro 14, Leinster 100% record in the Pro 14 remains intact. They beat the Cheetahs 36-12. In Conference A, and as we look at Ulster, they were beaten by Ospreys 26-24. Ulster, they still remain 15 points adrift of the O'Connell side there, and Connacht meanwhile, well, they enjoyed a 29 points to no score bonus point over Cardiff in Conference B, so a good outing for them over the weekend as well.
Yeah, and also on Friday night, Munster had a massive result against the Kings. They played on Friday night. I think it was at 50-odd anyway, but it was they got their try bonus point very much. So, no, as you said, the Leinster still unbeaten, and that's a very frustrating thing for Ulster at the moment. Not the fact that Leinster are unbeaten, the fact that Leinster beat the Cheetahs. Now, that meant that if Ulster had beaten the Ospreys, they would have been 15 points clear of the Cheetahs, and that would, as well as Glasgow, and that would really have, you know, have consolidated the second position in that in the Pro 14. But as I said, I mean, Leinster had no great difficulty taking the Cheetahs out. I think they played well for the beginning, but the second half they scored, I think it was 5 or 6 tries, I think I saw that they scored, you know. And I mean, but I was totally frustrated watching the Ulster game against the Ospreys. I mean, that was a good opportunity. They looked as if they were a team that hadn't played for 3 weeks, and to be honest, they came back in the second half and still should have won the game. But defensively, for about 15-20 minutes in the first half, they let the Ospreys in for 2 scores, and the Ospreys then built on that. As you know, they've only won one game this season, and you know, that was a way. I noticed in the papers today Dan McFarlane was very annoyed about the situation, and rightly so, because I mean, Ulster have been going well, and you know, if you're going to do anything either in Europe or on the Pro 14, these are the games you have to win. And as I say, especially with Leinster setting up the challenge that they would have been 15 points ahead. Pardon me, but I saw bits of the Connacht game then later on, and that the Connacht had a super game against Cardiff, and I won that one, as you said, very, very convincingly. They're still in very much in the shout for the playoff positions in that other conference, which is a lot tighter than the one that Leinster's leading. But, you know, there's 2 more games to go. 2 more sets of games next week. The Cheetahs come to the Kingspan on the Saturday. A lot of the games will be played next week, Friday and Saturday, because the Ireland-England game is on the Sunday, and I'm sure everybody will want to be keyed into that one. But I mean, Ulster have now a big challenge, because if they don't beat the Cheetahs next week, then the Cheetahs are virtually level with them, and that's not really what they wanted when they could have been so far adrift.
Before we let you go, Alec, well, you touched on it there. Big match next weekend in Twickenham. Ireland taking on England. Summer Mutant, this is, of course, a massive game and could indicate who's going to win this year's Six Nations.
It could. As I say, there's France, there's England, and there's Ireland, who are all unbeaten after 2 games. So, you know, they're still in the mix to win the Grand Slam. And that one, or the championship or whatever. But I mean, it's the Grand Slam is a big one that people tend to go for. It doesn't happen that often, and certainly, you know, to beat all 5 teams is a considerable thing to do. But next week, I think will be a big testing ground. This is the first away game Ireland have played. They've had 2 home games against Scotland and against Wales, and certainly the Welsh performance was a lot better, and I thought was good. Now, it'll be interesting to see if Farrell makes any change. It depends. I'm not sure whether Henshaw's going to be fit or not. I saw Farrell played for Munster on Friday night, so obviously he's fit. McCloskey's got fit, or whatever way he wants to do that one. But I don't see too many changes. They're talking about maybe bringing Caelan Doris back, you know, the guy who unfortunately only got 3 or 4 minutes against Scotland. That would be a big call, but nevertheless, if he does come in, probably Peter O'Mahony may be the person to lose out on that one. Vinnie Pola, of course, is not playing for England at number 8, and, you know, that is a big physical one out of the road. Underhill and Curry have been sharing that position, so both those guys are of a similar nature or stature to Doris, so he may well throw them in and see how it goes, because you always have the security of Peter Mahoney on the bench. But apart from that, I don't really see, unless Henshaw's not injured, any changes. But it's going to be a massive game, because I mean, England are under a lot of pressure. Eddie Jones is under a lot of pressure. They haven't really played that well at the moment, and certainly, you know, that it's really going to be up to it what happens. But who knows? You know, that's the way it goes, and it'll be very, very interesting. Sorry, I should have added, of course, that England are not unbeaten. France beat them the first game, and so it really is France and Ireland are the only two, really, that have got that Grand Slam within their grasp. But I would think, from Ireland's point of view, from Johnny Sexton and Owen Farrell's point of view, forget about Grand Slams, go to Twickenham next week, get a third victory, then you've got a sort of a lesser game against Italy at home before you go into the Lions' Den on the final game, when the three games were all played in the one Saturday, and the Ireland-France game is scheduled for 7 o'clock at night. So what a finish that could be if things work out.